The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome to all who are joining us here in person. And welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good that we are here together in this seventh Sunday after Pentecost. And together in our midst, we will experience God in word and sacrament and in the presence of each other. It is good to be here. We ask now that if you are able, may you stand, and if you cannot stand, know that the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who greets us in this and every season, and whose word never fails, whose promise is sure.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of our neighbor. Merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned. We have hurt our community. We have squandered your blessings. We have hoarded your bounty. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
Righteous God,
we confess that we have sinned. We have failed to be honest. We have lacked the courage to speak. We have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
God is a cup of cold water when we thirst. And God offers boundless grace when we fail. Claim the gift of God's mercy. You are free and forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, my God.
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word.
By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. And now we invite our children to come forward for a children's message. Today, kids, we have a story from Jesus about seeds. Do you know anything about seeds? A little bit? You
guys,
they grow? Yeah.
When you plant them.
Well, so my first step was to get some seeds. But remember, kids, I didn't choose this reading. You know how hard it is to find seeds in the month of July in Newport, Oregon? It's pretty hard, but don't worry, I'm resourceful, and I found some seeds. Some sunflower seeds. So we're going to plant some sunflower seeds. We're going to plant these roasted and salted sunflower seeds. We're hoping it's going to work, because they were roasted, but you know what? Boom, they're really got some feedback going on. I hope that once we plant our roasted and salted sunflower seeds, it in itself will produce a roasted and salted sunflower plant. And then if we take those seeds and roast and salt them, because it's being a secret sauce of goodness.
But
here, so take a seed, take a seed. We've got to figure out where we're going to plant the seed. Make sure he doesn't eat it, though. All right, there we go. So we have our seeds.
Oh,
yeah, okay, there you go. Now, we have questions on where we want to plant our seed. So our first option is we're going to plant it in the pot with all the rocks. Do you think that's a good idea?
No.
Okay, so what about the pot that has the path? This is soil from a path. It's hard clay.
No.
No, okay. That was pretty interesting. Well, I know. Here we go. We've got the one with all the weeds in it. Things are already growing in here. What do you think?
No.
Oh, I know. How about the one with the potty soil here?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's put our seed in here, and we're going to hope it's going to grow into a salted and roasted sunflower seed. Okay, try to put those in there. This will be our science experiment for the year. There we go.
That won't work.
It probably will not work, yeah. So this is what we would do if we're going to plant. We're going to find the one that gets the seed, and we're going to put it in here. But our lesson today is that Jesus is the sower, and Jesus says the seed is this word of God. And what is the word of God? That you're forgiven, and that you're loved, and that you're accepted. No, you don't get this word, but this is what it is. Come see me later. Okay. And then, but the sower has the seed. You are all loved. And Jesus is throwing seed everywhere. He throws them everywhere in each of these things because everybody in every way is loved and cared by God. And that is our message today. Everyone gets the word of God. Everyone gets God's grace and forgiveness. And let us pray now together. And for all our visitors and friends out there, on the count of three, we're going to bring our hands together in the form of prayer. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that your word is for us.
Thank you that your word is for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the things for which I send it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, or an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today's psalm is Psalm 65. We will read it responsively. You will find it in your bulletin, and I don't have the page number here. In your bulletin, page number 4. You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be fulfilled.
To you, the one who answers prayers, to you all flesh shall come.
Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions.
Have your way with whom you choose, and cause your horse to welfare. They will be satisfied by the beauty of your house, by the holiness of your temple.
Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth and of oceans far away.
You made firm the mountains by your power. You are
still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the peoples.
Those who dwell on the ends of the earth will tremble at your marvelous signs. You make the dawn and the dusk to sing for joy.
You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth.
You drench the furrows and smooth out the ridges. With heavy rain, you soften the ground and bless its increase.
You crown the year with your goodness, and your path overflow with plenty.
May the fields of the wilderness be rich for grazing, and the hills be clothed with joy.
May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. Our second reading is from the letter to the Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Sat beside the lake, and such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there. And while the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path. And the birds came and ate them up. And the other seed fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone who has an ear listen. And he said, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. And for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And yet, such a person has no root, but it endures only for a while. And when troubles or persecution arise on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, and it yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Now, I said this in the words of the week that are printed in your bulletin, but I find myself out of my element in this reading. Gone are the water and waves, and we are in soil. But one thing I know from talking to gardeners and those who work with the soil, and there may be many amongst us who do that, is that same sense of connection with the spirit that I might find in the ocean, you find in digging in dirt and in growing things. And indeed, there is a very profound mystery of the moving of spirit in the soil, in the mystery of life, and in the connection of all of us back to God in the ground of this earth. But for me, I just don't connect with that in that way. And so I spent a lot of time trying to make some ends of this text this morning. And as I studied and pondered it, I couldn't help but be reminded of my grandparents, because they were master gardeners. Terraced hills, bushes and trees everywhere, and in the back of the house was a massive vegetable garden with fruit trees and raised beds, and they farmed like the Dickens. Always fresh food, and it was always my chore of the day to go out there in the evening of the night and water everything, and it was like it felt like it took forever as a little kid to water. But alas, all that experience of being with them and living with them has yielded me with no ability to grow anything. I thought I could at one point when we bought our house up in Washington. I said, "I'm going to start a garden." And that resulted in what was dubbed as Operation Save the Greens. This attempt in the course of one weekend to save this garden from destruction, from all of our animals and the wild animals, and the fact that nothing was growing, And that operation in and of itself was an absolute failure. So again, just a little out of my element here. And what strikes me because of that, or maybe in spite of that, is that our sower today seems completely incompetent. Who goes out to sow and just randomly throws seeds everywhere? I mean, this guy has no concern where the seed goes. He throws it on the road, he throws it in rocks, he throws it everywhere. And what farmer, what gardener does that? Because I remember my grandparents spending most of their time in preparation of that soil. You take those rocks out, and why you have to take rocks out every year, I don't know. But that's a story for a different sermon. But always rocks, no matter how many rocks you remove it. And you fertilize it every year, and you till it, and you do all this work. And then the measuring tape comes out, right? Because all the seeds have to be a certain distance away. The soil is immaculately worked. But our sower today, he doesn't care about the soil. He's just flinging seed everywhere. And that, my friends, I think is the point of the parable. The point is that we have in here the kingdom of God is this sower, this abundant, reckless, prodigal sower throwing the word of God, this word that says you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you are a child of God. And this seed indeed goes everywhere regardless of the soil, but this is for you all. And the problem, I think, for us is we want to make this a parable about the soil, don't we? We want to spend all of our time determining, are we the right soil? Does this word go to the right soil? And so it becomes a parable of soil and not a parable of the sower. And yes, there's some description here about how the word affects us, how it, for some people, it results in nothing. Someone else takes the word and cherishes it in our heart. But that is not the point of our parable. The point of our parable is that we have a God who abounds in abundant grace and mercy, who is patient and slow to anger. And this word goes out to us all. This parable is saying something about the God we believe in. And this God came in the flesh to be one of us and dwelt amongst us. And in a sense, this parable is about Jesus. You see Jesus on the boat asking parable after parable after parable, and in the next 3 weeks we're going to get those parables. And he goes to city after city after city, throwing this word of God to everyone. This word of graciousness, of forgiveness, that God's reign in the world has come near to us. And this is the seed. This is the story of the sower. And I think in it, it has a mission for us to be this sower. That we go out and spread this message of God's love and grace and forgiveness. And we throw that far and wide without any judgment who we tell, without worrying on whether they are the right person for the message. We just fling the word. God forgives you. God loves you. God has restored you. And if there is any message for us or lesson for us to learn, let's look at the soil just a little bit. A few things to point out is that the sower doesn't know where the seed goes. He just throws it. And we might never know what effect our word has on somebody. It takes time to grow. You might not be around to see the effect of the word. But don't worry. The seed will have an effect. Our promise from our text from Isaiah is that God's word will not come back empty-handed. So you may not know the effect of the seed. You might not be around to see it blossom. And that's okay, because you can't make it grow. I think all of our gardeners in here can say that. You put that dead seed in the ground, that roasted and salted seed. And what happens next is a miracle and a mystery. The only thing our gardener can do is cultivate an environment of growth. And all we can do as a church is cultivate an environment of faith. But the gift of faith and the fruit of faith, that's God's work in us. We can't make that happen. It's a mystery of God. So we don't know the effect we might have. We can't make it, but we just throw the seed. And the word this morning is this, that you are loved, you are forgiven, you are a blessed child of God. And you are invited this morning to get refreshment for your own soil. Water from our baptism to refresh us and wash us clean. And nourishment in this meal. And so nourished on word and sacrament, we may grow so that we may spread this grace and forgiveness to all. Amen.
Thank you.
God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. Guide your church, O God, to sow seeds of forgiveness and righteousness on good soil. Direct your people to proclaim your love in this congregation and throughout the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Sustain your creation, O God, by sending favorable weather, causing trees and fields to grow, protecting waterways from pollution, and instilling in all people the need to be good stewards. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Maintain peace among all people, O God, and raise up lawyers to work for justice in the courts, advocates to speak for the downtrodden, and politicians to work on behalf of the common good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Heal those who are sick, O God, especially Aaron, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Era, Penelope, Twyla, Karen, Colin, Joe, Susan, Karen, victims of the war in Ukraine, earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and people of Furlong Lutheran Church and St. Timothy Church. Guide healthcare workers to care for those who suffer, scientists to conduct life-saving research, and counselors to care for victims of sexual abuse and exploitation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Answer the prayers of those gathered in worship, O God. Protect those who travel near and far. Accompany visitors to this congregation and nurture their faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Inspire us by the faithful departed, O God, examples of your embodied love, whose confidence in the resurrection guides us in living lives worthy of the gospel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, in the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, for fulfilling the promises of the resurrection, you poured out the fire of your Spirit, uniting in one body people of every nation and tongue. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with fervency and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Thank you.
test. When you come to the person holding the wine, we ask that you take whichever which option you want. The lighter liquid is grape juice, and the red liquid is wine. If you wish to just receive a blessing, come forward with your arms crossed, but know that all here are welcome at this table to receive the gift of God's presence amongst us. Amen.
Of the world, have mercy.
body and blood of our Lord and Savior, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, generous God, for the refreshments we have received at your banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest friend, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
We take this moment now just to have a brief moment for any announcements for the good of the order. And Arnie's in the back with a microphone. If there are any announcements, please just raise your hand. Don't seem like we have any takers, so I have a few. Just a reminder that the third Wednesday of the month is our summer potluck, so please come on that, or we're inviting you to come on that Wednesday at 6 o'clock. We'll provide the protein. We ask you to bring a side. A great way of inviting friends and family to meet and greet and eat some delicious food. Also, we have a flyer on the greeter's table, which is asking some information for a book club that we are going to be starting. If you'd like to participate in that and have a voice of when it meets, please fill out that little ticket. On Thursday at 1 o'clock, we're meeting in the church and going for a walk on the beach. After a walk on the beach, anyone who shows up at Thursday at 1, and that group has been anywhere from 1 to 8, but it's been a great way of connecting and just enjoying some time together in the beauty of God's creation. And then, Pete, if you're standing, you have, okay, Darian's got an announcement.
I'm sorry to do this, but a slight correction. This Wednesday we have Welka, but our barbecue is not until the fourth Wednesday of the month. So I would hate for you to have to show up this week, have nobody here to eat your delicious food, and then come back again next week.
Thank you, Mary. The fourth Wednesday of the month. And yes, Pete.
Well, I noticed we have a lot of guests here today, and I didn't want them to just walk out the door because there's two beautiful cakes and a lot of stuff to enjoy out there after the service.
Yeah. Make sure if you're a visitor, you pick up some agates on your way out as a way of saying our thank you for joining us today. And then finally, I know it's a lot of announcements, but my family is coming down today, driving down as we speak, and so the consequence for that will be I'll be taking Wednesday off. I'll be back in office Thursday. So we need if there's an emergency, of course, I'll just call, but just know I'll be in on Thursday in the office. And with that, yes, Ronnie.
The hats.
Oh, the hats, thank you. I knew I was forgetting something. We ordered hats instead of Atonement Lutheran. If you have ordered that hat, they are available at the table, so come pick it up. If you did not get in that order, we are still accepting orders, and we'll place another order later. If you bought a hat, signed up for a hat, they are in. Now take a deep breath and a pause. The God who calls across the cosmos and speaks in the smallest seed, bless, keep, and sustain you now and until the end of the age.
Amen. Amen.
in peace. Serve the Lord.